You are looking at a traveler who just bought a ticket for a very special kind of a trip. The cost? A few dollars. And his mind.
Do you like music?
It's rich. It's alive. It's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
Fame. Fortune. Platinum records. It's every boy's dream.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome back. This is Cut by Cut Podcast. We are here with episode 42. This is Chris, back with my Billy Goat beard, and I'm joined by our esteemed podcast leader, Eric, the novel sound. Woo woo, Carlson.
Scoot! That's my disco call, and my inability to go that high in the register.
We are talking Beastie Boys, Paul's Boutique, Shake Your Rump, the second track off the album.
Yeah, and one of my favorites. I mean, easily, this was the single off the album. This was the one that...
It feels like a single.
Yeah. When the Beasties put the album together, they purposely made all of the tracks blend so that they couldn't just cut nicely.
Yeah.
Right? Without chopping off a little bit of the song early or the next song late.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, it's always... Even in listening to it, I never quite know when to stop it because I don't like stopping it when you're cutting something off.
Yeah, and it's not like they were doing skits in between songs, which are clear, like these aren't meant to be played on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, things that
was cut here.
Right, exactly. The songs were just meant to blend into one long side A and side B. So this was Capitol Records' take on, okay, this is the catchiest, the hookiest, the funkiest track on the album that we can get away with because it doesn't have a legion of swears in it. There's
sure.
not a lot to beep
well,
out.
Well, a lot of the lyrics too feel like they're, you know, a lot of the lyrics allude to we're back. Here we are, we're back.
That's true. Yeah, it's a good point. I didn't think about that.
From a single standpoint, it's, you know, you've waited and here we are.
Which I can't imagine, you know, if this album really didn't, the album didn't sell well. So what a shock it must have been. I remember seeing the video, but I think by that point, I was like, oh, the Beasties, and they're in funny clothes. Okay, this is the thing that they're doing.
Yeah, and not to show my age, but I was 9 and I didn't see it.
Yeah. the video is them wearing all, you know, these outfits from the house that they were living in.
We talked about it. I've seen, you know, now what they did.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, it was...
That video, for some reason, always struck me as a very Rock the Casbah feel.
Okay.
You know, for some reason, I haven't... Actually, I didn't watch it to prep for the show, which is I should have done. But I feel like there's oil derricks in the background and like there's a bunch of desert stuff happening. I don't know why. I'm going to leave it there and let people do what they will with
what
this information.
What twisted time was of your life was that?
Yeah. But I love, they start out with this sort of frat rap opening, right? A rock a house party at the drop of a hat. Now, yeah. Yes, house parties were things throughout the country within the hip-hop community and so forth, but for me it just feels a little bit more suburban than it does, inner city or urban ring.
So if I may be open about what we're doing here on this podcast,
yeah.
It was one of my, we've talked hip-hop a teeny bit in the podcast before. We've all talked about how it's not really any of our forte, if you will. The Beastie Boys always kind of feel that way to me anyway. Like, so in my life, I'm glad you said the word frat rock, because that's when Beastie Boys came kind of into my life in the most was when I was in college. And it was like, I identified with Who to Avoid by kind of If They Were Listening.
Yeah.
Beastie Boys? Is that?
Yeah, no. And
this is fun for me to go back and look at it because I've never given it much of a chance.
And I like that. I like that you have these sort of negative preconceived notions. No, I'm serious. Because
it's less the music itself than the people that I think I saw identifying with it.
Right. And so, you know, and for me, I saw it as like a textbook. for me, it was, these are the names you should know.
Okay.
You know, I got more rhymes than Picasso got paint. Well, I'm in eighth grade. Okay, well, who's this Picasso guy and why the hell does he have so much paint? Oh, okay, here he is, an important dude. Here is him talking about, I don't know, you know, here's a sample from this song. I should probably hear this song. So for me, it was the ultimate experience. I didn't think too much about the other kids.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and I like that you saw, you came to it through the veil of the other kids.
Well, we've had this conversation a little bit too. I hate that I'm admitting some of my, I guess, my own shortcomings here, but when you go to college and you're, the phenomena is that everyone's into like these things that are old and they're hipster about it. You know, people with the Led Zeppelin posters and the Bob Marley posters.
Yeah.
And we have had this, I'm remembering conversations we've had,
oh, yeah,
before. And it's like, why do I care that you're into this right now? Like, I used to listen to Led Zeppelin with my dad. Like,
yeah,
so what?
And you know, I think we've said before, but
they're like, psychedelic, so what?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, where'd you get that black light? And what's wrong with your sheets? I see, that was my thing was, and I think I've talked about this either on the show or with you personally, but for me, Bob Marley was not just the album legend. He was so much more,
yeah,
than that. And so to be reduced to him, the famous black and white picture of him smoking a joint and then kids playing the album legend over and over and over again was really reductive.
Would you say they missed the point?
I would say we need a little bell for when you, anyway.
Puns, ding.
So let's jump into the song.
So yeah, right from the top, second line, yeah, I enjoyed.
Oh, that's, yeah, it's a fantastic,
the mispronouncing line of the word aluminum.
Yes.
Which I find myself loving to repeat. Aluminum bat.
Aluminum.
I, yeah, beat a biter down with aluminum bat.
Which is unbelievably tongue-tyingly difficult.
Yeah, you were,
we were espousing on it earlier.
But you were, yeah, saying that in the green room, but before we started the show, and I liked it, so that's why I'm going to steal your thunder, is to mispronounce a multi-syllabic word in the middle of a kind of the type of stream of consciousness kind of rap they're doing, you know, lyrics they're doing.
Yeah.
Showing some, well, that's still a line from their own song, showing some clout or some, you know, some mental prowess, if you will.
Of course,
at,
yeah,
at the skill that is dropping a rhyme.
And it's this, it harkens back, you know, the first album, they were, you know, there's the famous line, I did it like this, I did it like that, I did it with a wiffle ball bat. Now they're on their way up to aluminum bats.
They've graduated.
Like, even their choice of
I like it.
Weaponry is improving.
So I wonder if in the next album they make a reference to a wooden bat.
And check your head. Is a wooden bat? This is me being serious. I know nothing about baseball. I've watched a lot of it.
Well, so let me school you on a little baseball. When you're a child, you play, yep, wiffle ball.
Yep.
You move up into Little League where you use aluminum bats.
Yep.
Aluminum
I'm
bats.
Leaving that in there.
And the big leagues are played with wooden bats.
Is there a reason? Is there? I mean, what's the difference between aluminum and a wooden bat?
I'd be lying if I told you the exact, or if I know the exact reason. One, wooden bats, if you don't do it right, hurts like hell.
Okay.
And they break.
Right. Yeah, I've seen that.
There's wood grain, and if you hit it against the grain, it will snap. And so, but mostly it's the gripping the bat. If you have it loose, it'll vibrate in a,
okay,
way that like aluminum sturdier, so the vibrations aren't as.
So, if you're gonna beat a biter down, you want to do it with an aluminum bat.
I would say, if I'm from a weaponry standpoint,
yeah.
Although I would tend to be a hipster about it, I would probably go wooden.
You would.
But I think it's a more satisfying thud.
Yep.
Whereas the aluminum bat would have that kind of ting sound to it, but I would, if you're going to choose a sturdy weapon and you want it to be durable,
you go with aluminum.
I would go with aluminum.
Right, yeah. Now,
for those out here who don't know, one more little fact, they have porcelain bats, which are slightly, you know, next to the aluminum bats.
Please join us next week on Bat Talk.
That's all. I'll leave that there forever.
Well, yeah, you just totally blew my mind. I was not prepared for talking about porcelain bats. Did you... So when I first... For years, I misunderstood this line.
I forgot a very simple fact. Aluminum bats are lighter. Therefore, that's why the youth tend to use them as well.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Probably the biggest reason, yeah.
The thing that was funny for me was I always thought it was I beat a biter down with a loot of my bat.
Like a quaalude?
No.
Like skip to the loo?
I figured it was a section of the bat that I didn't know about, right? So, yeah. Like, there's the handle, right? Yeah. You choke up on the what?
The loo.
On the handle. You hit with the loo of the bat.
Okay.
You know? So for years, I had this invented sort of... meat chart of a baseball bat, right? Handle, the little bit at the bottom, the nub, the handle, the loot of the bat.
Nice.
And I feel I'm okay. I am secure enough in my own intelligence to say I'm a moron where bats are concerned. I just don't even freaking know about this. But I'm kind of heartbroken that it's aluminum back, like, mixed up.
They just mispronounced aluminum.
Yeah, that, like, that, it's so, oh man, just takes the fun right out of it. But
while my misconception wasn't for years, the beat a biter down, I thought was beat a body down.
Yeah, but that's at least closer, maybe. Right? You know, you're there. Oh man, the next great line.
Except for not knowing what a biter is. Like ankle biter? Or?
No, like a biter, someone who steals your style. Someone who steals.
But isn't this okay.
You know, someone who's biting off what you're doing.
Okay. Okay, I get it.
But I love... Well, that actually brings a really good point to the song, because we've got a lot of talk in this song about pimps.
Yep.
Right? And the idea of... Which I think comes to... I think that this song is really a slam at their break from Def Jam. So this is one of the first songs that they wrote, right?
Yep.
So what's heaviest on their mind, in my interpretation, is this relationship in the break from Def Jam.
Yeah, sure.
And I go to stanza two. I don't want to go too far away from some of the great lines in the first part of the song. But when Mike D comes in...
with his bad self running things?
Yeah. He has the line, a puppet on a string. I'm paid to sing or rhyme or do my thing. I'm in a lava lamp, right? So for me, I'm in a lava lamp is the funkadelic version of being a genie. Def Jam rubs the thing, and for 2 years you go on tour and you make millions of dollars that they're going to take from you, right? You're nothing more than you jump when they jump, you do what they do, you have to wear the jackets, you have to, you know, push the product always. This is that first break from that, and how does it happen? Well, it happens in a hurricane, right? And I don't want to go too far yet.
Yeah. You want to come back to the first verse.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, and so...
Whatever you call it, the first spewing of lyrics.
Right, right, yeah.
It's definitely more than a verse.
You know, when we've got that moment when we start with disco, which is where hip-hop started, right? Yeah. I mean, hip-hop came out of sort of this school of the DJs in New York.
I wanted to say I don't know... Hip hop versus, but the DJing,
DJing,
the party music, and the spinning of the records, and I guess you mentioned, I think on the lead in that the song is one continuous kind of, well, not one continuous, but you could, the idea was that you could, they, this is all sounds like one long track.
Correct.
Right. And that's the blending of from track to track that DJs. And that's the Dust Brothers, right?
Yep.
I think probably influencing a lot of that.
Yeah.
Got an idea. We'll make this one long sonic experience, right?
And so I wanted to start with, you know, the first, or one of the first, the song is chock full of beautiful samples.
Yeah, I think there was at least 11, if I'm eyeballing that, 11 or 12.
And so I wanted to first talk about, and only briefly, Funky 4 plus 1.
Yep.
And... You know, so here we are, we're on our second album. It's a whole new direction for the Beastie Boys. But even the samples are bringing something to the table, right? So you've got your first female MC featured on a hip rap record, right? You've got Sharrock, or Sharon Green. And so you're going to hear a little bit of her in this sample right here.
If you're ready for this, say you're ready for this. If you're ready for this, say you're ready for this. Are you ready just can't miss.
What we just can't miss
with a beat like this.
It's the joint. We're gonna prove to the world that we're for real. We're gonna prove.
And I love, I mean, I probably don't know if it was intentional more than it was just a really awesome sample.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that, you know, if you're building this sort of narrative about the album, pulling these sort of specifics, right? Because the very next thing that happens after Funky 4 plus 1 is one of the most popular sort of soundtrack albums ever made.
Okay.
Which is Car Wash. Featuring Richard Pryor and George Carlin and so forth. Did you want to talk about the next sample?
We were talking back and forth about what samples we kind of thought were most interesting. And I thought the sample that actually directly follows the It's the Joint that was used is kind of that weird kind of bassy, almost synth noise that comes out. And it's off of a track by... Rose Royce, which I love the name. Don't admit I don't know anything about, nor did I pull that thread enough. But the song is called 6 o'clock DJ, and you'll hear the sound effect. It's a very sci-fi satisfying sound to me.
Yeah. There's something very sort of extraterrestrial funk about this.
Yeah.
Very Parliament, sort of coming out of the woodwork of this.
So, and I when I told you I liked it, I hadn't even realized it was off that original motion picture soundtrack of Car Wash, which is of course a classic.
It's a classic comedy.
Comedy film of the time. There, I think we discovered it had George Carlin and Richard Pryor, right? And,
yep.
Both of whom have come up on this podcast before. And
it was one of those films that was kind of on commercial television, you know, Channel 56 out of Boston with relative frequency growing up.
Sure.
So it was the kind of thing like, you know, you'd have your monster movies and then you'd have, you know, Car Wash or It's a Mad, 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 Mad World or some other...
Shaft?
You know, But you'd have these sort of, you know, these sort of older movies kicking in. But I love the idea that, you know, you heard my style. I think you missed the point, right? Like you're paying attention to the lyrics and what you really should be listening to are the Dust Brothers, my friends, and all of their samples and all of their connections.
Okay. So one of my questions was, what did I miss? Because I don't think I understood what I missed.
Okay.
Therefore, I missed it.
Well, I think, you know, some songs are bravado. I think what makes Paul's Boutique separate from a lot of other rap albums is so many of these tracks are stories, right? So many of these tracks are, here's, you know, in the next track, Johnny Ryle. Here's a homeless guy we used to know.
Yeah, and, we'll get to that.
Or our imagined life of him.
Yeah.
Here's us driving around L.A. egging people. Here's... You know, here's us reenacting sort of a Dirty Harry crime film. They're much more story narrative based things rather than just these sort of boasts.
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up because I think that's one of the reasons I don't connect as much with typical hip hop.
Yeah.
Is I don't get the point because it's the opposite. there is no point, but I listen to a song sometimes, and this song is actually one of the criticisms I have of a song like Shake Your Rump is, what did I just hear? What is happening here? Now, we're talking about it. It's them coming back and getting a lot of things off their chest before they move on to the rest of the album. And I think I agree with that.
Yeah.
So this song was different in that the joke I had is, you missed the point. And I was like, what exactly is the point? Because it's a hip-hop song. Where we just, you're just telling me how good you are, or you're the fattest, or you're the most packinist, you're the,
yeah.
And I, it's kind of the things where I don't connect with, right? I'm not
the music. You're pretty mackin.
the song that I, the music, the, you know, as we've discussed, obviously the music that I kind of tune into most or relate to most tells me a story or expresses, I guess, a feeling that I am feeling or understanding.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to relate with something like this, 'cause I don't walk around thinking I'm the most peckinist, or so.
Yeah, I mean, I can feel that, and I can hear that.
I don't beat a biter down with a aluminum bat.
No, but I mean, again, I'm also not straight edge, and minor threat, right?
Touche.
I think it raises a really great point. Is, you know, at what point do we start sectioning off stuff, right? At what point do we say this is just a really good song,
yeah,
and I don't care about what tethers it to the ground?
Sure.
I just like this song, for crying out loud. This song just doesn't work for me. Or
yeah,
the things I'm hearing here, there's Afro, A-F-R-O, is a hip hop.
Yeah, I've been kind of peeling that onion in my own time, yeah.
He's great, and I love him, and I love Blackalicious, and I love that. But there's one song on Afro's album called Sunshine and Flowers, which I just, if it's a joke, it's not funny, it just...
It's pretty angry.
It's really, right? It seems really angry at women. That's not something I tend to connect with.
Yeah.
It's not funny to me if it's supposed to be funny.
Yep.
If it's angry, I certainly can't abide it even in the least.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, for me, this, each track on Paul's Boutique is almost, their stuff is almost like I'm watching a series of films. It's why I think the music video for Sabotage is so perfect. Because the Beasties get in this mode where they're like, okay, let's pretend.
We're like a 70s cop drama, yeah.
And for me, this is, let's pretend that we're back from the dead. Let's pretend that we're like, you know, we're bringing old school disco style, like we just stepped out of Shaft. Or we just stepped out of, you know.
Well, and as we talked about in their opening episodes, they had all the borrowed clothing they raided out of the closet in the house they were renting, and
and I think, you know, in my mind
they almost got to do these other personas, right?
Totally. And in sort of my brain hotel, I can see them putting it on and going, okay, now that I'm dressed like this, what am I presenting? You know, which Mike D am I?
Yeah.
Right? Which MCA am I?
Yeah, sure.
And sort of bringing that out. And some of the references are so fucking white bread, and some of them are so deep cut. Like, you know, Patty Duke, the wretch, and then I bust a tango. I got more rhymes than Jamaican got mangoes. Right, Patty Duke is about as white bread American as you can get.
Yeah, it's the.
You know, and so to take that, all of a sudden to be talking about mango kangles, right? And I don't know, is mango kangles, is he talking about the shoe type?
Aren't kangles the hats?
The hats and stuff like that, yeah.
I don't know what a mango kangle is, but...
You know, is he talking about, like, hat collection now? Or is he actually talking about legit mangoes?
You know what? As I look here and look at the lyrics, I didn't catch this. When I hear the song, I just... Maybe it's them... Do they come in... No. They say they got more rhymes than Jamaica got mango. And then don't the other people come in and yell kangos?
Oh, maybe that's... Yeah.
As you read the lyrics...
Right.
It says mango kangos. I don't remember them saying it that way.
And I feel a little foolish, you know. So again, please, like, if you know...
We're staring at a wall of text without the song playing, so I'm losing some context here.
Yeah, so please chime in and elucidate the situation here.
I believe the kangol is the hat.
Right, yeah, it is.
If I have to explain things to people, you know this is going south. Because I am the most...
No, I mean, I said shoes earlier. I meant to say hats, and I was thinking shoes.
While we're talking about Jamaica and mangoes...
Yes.
The reference kind of got me wondering.
Okay.
What makes Jamaica unique about mangoes?
Well, you mean...
Well, like, I got a question.
Like, why would series of Jamaican folk singers suddenly have this song?
Me no drink coffee tea,
one more time,
care how nice it may be,
one more time,
at the light of the mango crop, when the fruit them a ripe and drop, wash you up, down them down.
I will tell you, I spent a little time in Jamaica,
yeah,
in the hills of Negril, not in sort of like the holiday resort areas. I was a rented house way up in there. And, you know, my friend had a series of friends who lived in Jamaica and who were Jamaicans. And so we would kind of get escorted to places. There were places like you just didn't want to go alone.
You got some insider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel foolish for never paying attention to how many mangoes were around.
Yeah.
So I know that you had mentioned something at the beginning of this show, which is...
Well, I just... It got me wondering... don't ask me why I know this, but I happen to know that Jamaica is in no way the leading producer of mangoes.
Okay.
So a little... For those who know, I like facts and stuff. The leading producer of mangoes, I think for a long time, has been known to be India. And... the overwhelming majority of mangoes come out of Asia.
Yeah. Okay.
India specifically with, I think it was like, I'm not going to start looking up all the specific facts, but it was around like 40-45% comes out of India specifically. But I was trying to unpack what's Jamaica got to do with mangoes. And I guess all I could find was that Jamaicans seem to have a passion for the mango that no one else has. And I guess they have a lot of varieties there. So I think I couldn't find a specific statistic that said what. But well, there are, just like, so I would relate to apples up here.
Yeah.
There are a plethora of types of mango down to the point where you can hardly tell a difference between some of them. And the names are pretty. The names reminded me of listening to some of my stoner friends talk about the type of weed they're smoking, where it's like blueberry this from
sure
this place. And
well, that's actually a great bridge to what I want to talk about next. We would be remiss in the last 4 minutes of this show,
yes,
not to talk about the first bong rip in music history.
Is it official? Like,
this is officially and unequivocally the first bong rip recorded on an album.
Well, I really quickly, I alluded, I think, one of the previous episodes, whether it made the air or not, I don't know. But I was listening to this album when you first gave it to me in my car.
Yeah.
And the song was playing. Not entirely inappropriate.
Yeah.
But in the middle of the song, we get the nice sound of a shotgun crank with the sound of a water pipe.
Yep.
Which
I know. Matt Dyke's blue, famous blue bong,
I believe. Is it specifically? Yeah. I don't know specifically. I myself just, you know, naively know what the heck the sound was that I'm listening to, followed by the rest of the cocking of the shotgun, to which point my daughter says, "What was that noise?" And I had to look at her and lie to her and say, "I have no idea, honey," because I'm not explaining this to a 10-year-old right now.
Sure.
But
I will tell you that...
to which I never... the rest of the album got turned off, but...
I didn't, you know... I heard this album before I really had ever smelled or smoked or had ever experienced or had known anybody,
yeah,
you know, who had any kind of trappings with marijuana, right? So for a long, 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 long time, I only knew what a bong sounded like because of this sample.
But I can totally imagine the situation where you're like, just, I know what that's like. You can totally pull out some cred and be like,
well, you know, I used to be able to you know, to mimic it. So I'd be in conversations and I'd be like, you know, like, and I can't really do it right now, but
you should've got mouth is too dry.
I know. And people would be like, I feign knowing what a bong is. Like, oh my God, so ridiculous. And now, of course, it's like sixth graders who are like,
yeah,
you know, looking at a bunch of used PVC thinking,
it was make actually, a bong out it was of that. Actually a nice litmus test for, you know, I know she's only new. She's nearly 10. So if she would have known, I would have had a what the hell moment. But yeah. So
it was a nice, yeah. Every year you should break this out and play that song. And
yeah,
then she goes, why are they ripping bongs?
The second she doesn't ask me what that sound is and kind of glances at me knowingly,
yeah,
I'll be like, you know what that is.
Why I'm amazed that bong technology is still a thing, what with vaping now. I feel like such an old man now, right? Like,
I was having
kids still bonging.
Well, I was having a moment at work today when up on one of the propaganda screens, they're explaining the smoking policy or in the area where I work, and there's been a recent modification to the policy.
Yeah.
So the policy has a new number, and it added it put the addition of electronic cigarette or whatever the
electronic
hell,
tobacco whatever transference they,
whatever
devices.
The hell they called it, not an electronic cigarette, but like electronic smoking or whatever the hell they called it. And I was like, and I just said, I'm not ready for the future when, like, you know, I'm not ready for this where like And I joked. I said, when I was a kid, people killed themselves with old fashioned fire and tobacco.
You know, right? What I mean? Yeah. Well, that's my take on vaping. Like, just be a man and smoke the damn cigarette, right? Well, God, you know, it's really gender exclusive. Look, we'll argue that later. But like, first, let's get over the fact that you're downloading a cigarette. Okay, like.
But that said, you know, I do love Transmetropolitan by Warren Ellis.
Yeah,
we're there. We're getting there.
Oh, no, we're there. I just want to finish off with a couple other things. This may be the first time Sam the Butcher or Brady Bunch makes an appearance in hip-hop as well.
I wanted to open up with I'm Chris, or you may call me Sam the Butcher, bringing Alice the meat, but it was a little too much.
Well, no. See, because Sam was always one of those characters who everybody knew that all his meat talk...
Yeah, it was thinly veiled innuendo.
Right. Yeah. That was a little something for the parents at a time when, you know, you couldn't, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of cigarettes, you know, obviously we have Fred at the beginning of our show, but he makes an appearance in this track, right? Fred Flintstone driving around with bald feet.
Yeah, yeah.
But he used to be a representative for Chesterfield cigarettes.
I didn't know that.
I believe it was Chesterfield's, and he'd
be like Fred Flintstone, the character.
Yeah, so like they'd cut back to the cartoon, and Fred wouldn't be in frame, and they'd be like, "Fred, where are you?" And he'd be out back enjoying a Camel or a Chesterfield or whatever it was.
Interesting.
You know, little fourth wall break there in your cartoon. But those were the days when smoking was healthy, when it was okay for you. You know, doctors did it. 4 out of 5 doctors would recommend Camel cigarettes with their filters because it doesn't hurt your throat.
4 out of 5, you know, I've got, my mom's a nurse and she's a smoker, so I've always marveled at the paradox.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, nursing is a brilliant and tough and very difficult profession, yeah. And so I will flat out say that anybody who gives up their life to be a nurse can do whatever the fuck they want on the weekends. Like, look, you want to take 10 minutes out of your 40-hour workday? Have a cigarette.
Well, I joke even in my line of work that I'll sit at my desk all day and not get up, and they're calling sitting the new smoking, you know, and types of places for the work I do. So everyone's got these stand-up desks, I joke around sometimes and say I really got to start smoking. Just like just remember to get at least I have an addiction to get me up out of my seat for once an hour.
That's why I started smoking,
just to have something to do and get up and do.
Yeah, when I was working at the photo labs, you know, the guys would all go out and have a cigarette. And they got, I was like, wait, where are they going? Like every half an hour, they just get up and go out. And I'd be like, can I have one? Like, can I just walk outside and stand out there for 6 minutes and come back to work and not have to punch out? And boss was like, no, they're smokers. They can go out and do that. And I was like, all right, cool. And so this woman, Dottie, went out and I was like, hey, Dottie, you mind if I bum a cigarette from you? She's like, you smoke? I'm like, no, of course I smoke. I smoke all the cigarettes. Exactly.
It's not my first one.
You know, and then, you know, that lasted for about 20 years.
Yeah. When I met you, you were.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to meet yours quit. So, yay. And anything else you want to hit before this? I had a bunch of notes here still, too, but.
There really is too much to unpack. The last part that I really enjoyed, we both share a chuckle with this, but the whole running from the law, the press, and the parents.
Is your name Michael Diamond?
No, mine's Clarence. You know, like, fantastic.
Yeah, and again, the how fast that happens is just boom, 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 boom. And I think that this, you know, the License to Ill is a great album. Paul's Boutique showed that these guys weren't one-hit wonders. That these guys weren't flukes or flashes in the pan, that they could send these lines. I mean, they're trading lines back and forth.
I was going to bring up that. I'll second that. Where we talked earlier in other episodes about kind of how I enjoyed some of that post hardcore where there's multiple singers.
Yeah,
not quite trading in the way that hip hop groups do it, but these guys, I will say, they nail the tossing lines to each other. I do enjoy that part of it.
And it's
like if I'm comparing, you know, the hip hop gods that are Wu-Tang, they had a very focused way of doing that. Like Method Man would have his tracks, Dirty Bastard would have his, RZA had his stuff, right? And granted, they did have some songs where they passed things back and forth, but the intensity that the pace at which these guys do it is is it's great. Like, I do enjoy that aspect of it.
Yeah,
and the playing off each other.
Oh, you know? Of course.
It must have been a blast to talk, like, to be sitting in a room just tossing these things around back and forth at each other.
One of the things that we're going to talk about next episode is Dyke's journal, and that they hadn't written anything in a while when they first started doing this. So they just kept a journal that was all these words, you know, that they wanted to try to fit nice. Into the songs.
Like, challenge accepted. Like, they're gonna
yeah, like, and so I have some
we're
of
gonna
those.
Fit Kangols and aluminum bat and
dumpling like that's gonna be all right, you have to work dumpling into this track somewhere, you know. And so they're doing all of this stuff, and I think that
Rope-a-dope dookies, that was the other one. I gotta throw that in. Rope-a-dope, I had to look up what that was.
But some of the stuff is just fun to say. And you know what's also fun? Going to iTunes and giving the novel sound.
Woot woot, five woot woots.
Five woot woots, or as many woot woots as you feel that you want to give.
As we close things out, I wanted to get back into something. We're getting back into the track by track, the cut by cut.
Yeah.
How many woot woots or disco calls do you give this track?
Oh, this is the full five.
The full five woot woots.
Yeah, we're closing the joint down with this song.
It's the joint.
Yeah, this is, it's not my favorite track on the album, but it's powerful.
You are all in on the track.
I give it woot 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 woot.
Five rope-a-dope.
Yeah.
Five rope-a-dope.
Five dookies. How many dookies do you rope-a-dope?
I'm right up there with you. I'm kind of experiencing this for reals for the first time, as you know, live in Technicolor, as it were, as we do this podcast, but in preparation for it. But I even though I criticized it earlier for not knowing what the point is.
Yeah,
you've made me see the light. And,
Well, thank you.
No, I do. I enjoy the there are lines in here I will quote. And so thank you for that.
You're very welcome. let's remind people that they can go to cutbycut.com.
Cutxcut.com.
That's exactly it.
Yep.
They can go to cutxcut on iTunes, where they can leave their own five rope-a-doped dookies and say a few nice words about the show if you're so inclined.
Yeah.
But the most important thing you can do if you want to help us out is tell a friend.
Tell your friend. Tell your mom.
Or your mom's friends.
Your mom listened to this album.
Maybe you want to get down with Linda, and you're like, slap there, Linda. And she's like, I don't know what's going on.
The mom is Linda?
The mom's friend is Linda.
The mom's Linda.
Yeah.
The mom's Linda is a friend?
The mom's Linda is a friend. And so that's...
Shake your rumpa.
That's what we're going out on.
Yeah.
See you next week.
Thanks, everybody. Oh, Scritchy, scratch that record. What? Stay tuned. You're going to hear some samples from some of the songs that were sampled for this song. Peace. Thank you.
I know your name. I seen you cruising with the lowriders, hanging out down on First Street Main, tuning to and listening to the hoodoo rhythm devils around the bay. They got some crazy DJ. Send you right out to heaven.
In the house.
Come on, let me hear you say ow. Say ow.
Come on, come on, the whole boys in the house.
The boys, the boys.
The boys in the house.
Come on, let me hear you say ho.
Ho.
Say ho.
Ho.
Get it up.
Hey, party people, just
bust this.
We got a little something
that you can't resist.
We wanna say a little something
to the other MCs.
We said we don't have no quality.
We got
quality, it's a sophistication.
And all we need is your cooperation
to rock the house with the greatest of these. The best is ID.
I'm blessed and Mr. Free.
So come on, y'all, let's go to work.
With Van Butter,
Chattachy,
and Red Alert.
With others, we form the Zulu Nation.
Now check us out with our Jetta Sensation.
Now can you feel it? Can you feel it? Our Jetta Sensation.
The master ice and I'm twice as nice. I am the dedicated prince of the disco slides. As you can see, I'm moving it up as the Romeo rock of the microphone. Well, I'm a master D-E-E, so what it be? And rapping on the microphone is my pet peeve. An Aquarius man with a potent style, and every time I rap, it's on up worthwhile.
They call me Master B and that is true. Like the grass is green and the skies are blue. But I'm telling you that I will survive, cause I'm the microphone chief of the Jazzy Five.
And I'm AJ Less and I'm so unique, and it would be a treat to hear me speak. I'm a Leo man with the master plan, holding all the girls in the palm of my hand.
And I'm Mr. Freeze, and to tell you the truth, that my quality ranks about 100 proof. And for all of y'all who like to duplicate, I had to return to set the score straight.
ha ha ha. Funk it up, funk it up, funk it up, funk it up. Get jazzy off. To the funky sound. Come on, everybody, and start to clap. Because we are the kings of the body rock rap. So everybody, everybody, come check out the vibe. Jet the five, we're the best alive. And when we rock, we can't be stopped. And all you other, and all your other MCs take a hop. Our names are at the top of the list. And we're the best MCs that can ever exist. So let's party till you can't no more. And if you can't, just walk out the door.
But if you could,
you deserve a crew.
And like the five
MCs for Sound View.
We're the
ones divided, reunited.
Here we go.
You know we go. We go by the name out in the Hall of Fame. No other guy dang could ever play the game. Well, the flyest, those to be the highest. We're at the top and we can't be stopped. We're the sweetest, the neatest, the latest, the greatest, the best MCs to ever rise. And we go by the name of the Jazzy Five MCs.
The rock in the house, the rock shock in the house for the young ladies.
So watch out,
you don't stop. Have that body rock. Now I'm the master ice and I own up the gold. I'm known to be the superstar of the disco. I'm 5'8" with sweet brown eyes, guaranteed to make this party come alive.
Well, I'm the rich hip hopper and the MC topper, but everybody knows me as the latest grand rocker, MC Master D, and I'm the singer of the crew. So tell me, young ladies, what you want to do?
And I'm the Master D, as you will see. I hold the key to the door of society. But if you listen up close, you will agree.
A baby doll, he's the best of the century.
And I'm AJ Lex at your request. A pleasure that you're rapping with the right of finesse. Cause you could call me AJ, but they call me Lester, the mic rocker, the woman possessor.
And everybody calls me Chucky Chuck. Chuck galuck, 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 galuck. I said it passing the mic, I had to pass the buck. And now it's time to go up. Oh, fuck it up.
Just get on down.
So listen, everybody. Listen, everybody.
Listen up, everybody.
Listen, everybody.
Cause we got a surprise.
Got a surprise.
We got a surprise.
Got a surprise.
Looking pretty, have no pity, cause I'm the master ice and I'm in your city.
Hey, now it's time to throw. Go high and low and do the jiggle.
Shake your body to the left,
shake your body to the right.
Go down to the floor, now you're looking out of sight. Then you come back up and look your partner in the eyes. You find yourself heading for a big surprise. Because it splits your pants and when you went real low.
And that's why we call it the jiggle.
Ha ha, jiggle, jig, jiggle, jiggle.
Sylvia, Sylvia,
come on, so come on. I say clap your hands and do the jiggle.
Jiggle,
clap your hands and do the listen, party people all across the nation. All we want from you is your cooperation. If you're getting down with no limitation, everybody say
Jazzy Sensation.
Jazzy Sensation.
You don't stop.
A bad body rock. It's on, it's on, it's on, it's on. And if you know the words, why don't you sing along?
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? I'm Jazzy Sensation. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Our jazz sensation. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? I jazz the sensation.
Oh yeah,
Chef Petty.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Lean left, ha, lean right,
ha.
Lean front,
you gotta
lean back. Come on, ha, come on, ha, come on,
you gotta ride it, baby.
Yeah, baby,
ha,
come on, get, down, stop messing around.
That's it, aha, ain't it funky now? Ha, 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 that's it. Ain't it funky now? Everybody, everybody in the place, come on, come on, come on, and move your left leg. Huh. Come on, come on, come on, everybody, throw your right hand in the air, cool and I cool. Come on and come on and come on and then lean left and then lean right and then lean front and then lean back. Now come on, come on, you gotta ride me. Ain't it funky, ain't it funky, ain't it funky now, huh?
I am the count of Monte Disco.
Ain't it funky now, huh? Ain't it, ain't it, ain't it, ain't it, ain't it funky now? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I say clap your hands to the beat, top. Clap your hands into the beat, y'all. That beat, y'all. That beat, y'all. That beat that'll make you feel sweet, y'all. Yeah. Cardinal Hayes rock, rockin' on, rockin' on.
Master B rock, rockin' on, rockin' on. Steven C rock, rockin' on, rockin' on.
Steven C rock, rockin' on.
Aquinas High School rockin' on, rockin' on.
And Monroe rock, rockin' on, rockin' on. Norman Thomas rockin' on, rockin' on.
Grace Josh just rockin' on, rockin' on.
Brooklyn Tech keep rockin' on, rockin' on.
And Ethan Josh keep rockin' on, rockin' on. Murray Bertram rockin' on, rockin' on.
And Fashion just rockin' on, rockin' on.
Cook Quine is rockin' on, rockin' on.
Cardinal Hayes rockin' on, rockin' on. Flushin' High rockin' on, rockin' on. Until the break of dawn.
We ran out of schools.
That's cause you don't go.
What you talking about, man? Manhattan in college, coolin' out, cool, 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 coolin' out. You gotta, you gotta, you gotta, you gotta, you gotta
funk, 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 get up.
Come on, get down, stop messing around. You gotta
funk, 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 get up.
Come on, come on, come on, ain't it funky now?
Funk, 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 get up.
Come on, ain't it, ain't it, ain't it funky now?
Funk, 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 get up.
Huh. Come on. Ain't it funky now? Ha, 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 ha. Ain't it funky? Yeah.
That beat, y'all. That beat beats the beat, y'all.
Come on. Say James Brown.
James Brown. James Brown.
Say James Brown. Yo. Chet Betty Bone cooling out and to Mr. Magic. Rock Sock can turn the mother. Chet Betty Bone cooling out and to Mr. Magic. Rock Sock can turn the mother.
I'm Mr. Magic. I jump on it. I jump on it. If you want it.
Chet Betty Bone cooling out and to Mr. Magic. Rock Sock can turn the mother. Chet Betty Bone cooling out and to Mr. Magic. Rock Sock can turn the mother. Say nobody gives more music.
Say nobody gives more music.
Uh-huh. Say nobody gives more music.
Say what?
Mm-hmm.